This is the NBC shortwave transmitter room from which programs are shortwaved overseas.
Does this studio tour include a visit to a broadcast?
Well, tonight we're going to take you in to see the Rudy Valley rehearsal.
Oh, he's on for Dreen Shampoo, isn't he?
Yes, ma'am. This way, please. Rudy's got Ed Archie Gardner of Duffy's Tavern on the show with him this week. Gee, that sounds pretty good. How much is this tour? Tonight it's 45 cents. But it's usually 40 cents, isn't it? Yeah, but Rudy gets the nickel. Let's mute the brass.
Mr. Valley.
Yes, Webster?
You haven't given me the introduction for that number.
I'll give it to you later, but make a note to include these facts. It was the hit song of the Amherst Prom Show of 1924. I first became familiar with it in 1927 when I was playing saxophone with a society orchestra in Boston. It remained indelibly planted in my mind, and in 1925, the Connecticut Yankees and I started in New York at the Hi Ho Club. The song went on to sell over 1 million copies. All right, Frank, let's take it through for time. Stopwatch.
I love you, I love you. You are the girl of my dreams. I love you, I can't live without you. My life is empty, it seems. You may do what you may, whatever you say. You know that I always love you this way. I love you, I love you, I love you. You are the girl of my dreams, it seems. You are the girl of my dreams.
Ed, Archie Gardner is here.
Good, send him in. All right, boys, you can break for a smoke now, but please, nobody leave the studio. Take it easy, boys.
Well, how are you, Rudy?
Hi, Archie. Hi, Archie.
I want to tell you, I had a most enjoyable time at the tavern last night.
Well, we enjoyed having you, so it's dog eat dog.
Well, I think you preside over a fine establishment, Archie. I was particularly intrigued by the free lunch. It was delectable.
We noticed you certainly went after it, Rudy.
I couldn't help wondering, with all that free food, how is the place able to make any money?
Well, you see, the average fella comes in and occasionally purchases a small beer, if you see what I mean.
Well, I suppose I do lean toward the thrifty side.
Lean? Rudy, you are the Tower of Pisa with curls.
Thrift is nothing of which to be ashamed. It is my heritage. I was born in New England, you know.
Yeah, but you've been in California a long time now.
Maybe, but last night it felt like a typical New England evening.
Yeah, huh? Well, Rudy, it's like the old proverb says, money is the root of all evil. I guess you just can't get your roots out of New England, huh?
A most astute observation, Archie, subtly skirting the periphery of your pragmatic philosophy.
Yeah, huh? This guy's got words that Funk wouldn't even whisper to Wagner. But leave us to space with this idle bantam, Rudy. What I wanted to talk to you about is your radio show. You know, I heard the first one last week.
Oh, tell me, what did you think of it?
Well, Rudy, this might be a shock to you, but...
Go ahead, say it.
I liked it.
Well, thank you, Archie. That's very gratifying. And what did you think of my singing?
Well, Rudy, I've known you a long time, right?
Right.
We've always been friends, right?
Right.
Leave us keep it that way, huh? In other words, to be frankly brutal, this is for your own good, of course. The present era has passed you by. Why don't you get wise, Rudy, and copy yourself after a certain guy that everybody is really nuts about today?
And who do you mean?
Well, I don't like to come right out and mention any names, but his initials happen to be Frank Sinatra.
Frank who?
S-T-R-N-A-T-R-A. Sinatra.
Sinatra? What is that?
What is Rudy? After automobile and shipbuilding, that is our third largest industry.
Oh, I was only kidding, Archie. I do know Frank Sinatra, and I think he sings very well.
Well, then copy him. Let me look at you. What do you weigh?
170 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Take off about 85 pounds.
I won't be strong enough to stand up.
Touché.
Well, where do we start?
Well, the first thing we got to do is get some dame and see if we can make a swim, see? Now, let's see. Who could... I got it. Miss Duffy. I'll call her on the phone, get it down. We'll try it out on her. And in the meantime, kind of practice up, you know. Remember that. Hang on to the mic with both hands and wear the zoot suit, you know.
Who's that attractive girl over in the corner, Rudy?
Lulie Jean Norman, the southern girl who sings. Would you like to meet her, Edith? Miss Norman...
I think I mentioned her in my column when she sang in the 840 Review.
Miss Gwynn, Miss Norman.
Hello.
Miss Norman is a girl whom I heard 2 years ago on the air from New York and whom I've wanted to present ever since. After raving to Warner Brothers about her and trying to get the Helen Morgan picture for her, she comes out here 6 months ago and doesn't even call me.
But you were in the service and I didn't think I could reach you.
We're always forgiven, Luli, now that you're on the show. I've had our conductor, Frank Duvall, make a fine arrangement of Bill because I'd like you to sing it just as I heard you sing it 2 years ago.
I used to dream that I would discover a perfect lover someday. I knew I'd recognize him if ever he came round my way. I always used to fancy them. He'd be one of the godlike kind of men, with a giant brain and a noble head, like the heroes bold in the books I read. But along came Bill, who's not the type of man. You'd meet him on the street and never notice him. His form and face, his manly grace, is not the kind that you would find in a statue. Oh, I can't explain. It's surely not the frame that made.
I'll bet you girls wouldn't believe me if I told you how often a fellow brags about the girl he loves. You start talking to him right away, he's telling you how beautiful she is. He can't think of enough adjectives to describe all her charms. Of all the charms a girl may have, nothing tops the power of lovely hair. Hair that gleams and sparkles with highlights.
Rudy's right. That's the kind of hair we men always notice. So every time you wash your hair, use Dreen shampoo with hair conditioner. You'll get a combination of beauty advantages found in no other soap.
Dreen actually reveals up to 33% more luster than any soap or soap shampoo. Dreen with hair conditioner never leaves any dulling film on hair, as all soaps do, to hide the natural luster of your hair.
It brings out all the shining beauty.
And now that this new improved Dreen contains a marvelous hair conditioner, it leaves hair far silkier, smoother, and easier to manage right after shampooing. No other shampoo, not a soap in the world, leaves your hair so lustrous and yet so easy to manage. Only Dreen with hair conditioner. So girls, for glamorous, shining hair that puts you in a class beyond compare, always use Dreen shampoo with hair conditioner.
Have you gotten the Hollywood items from Edith Gwynn?
Not yet, Mr. Valley. She's in your office now talking to Luly Jean Norman.
Luly Jean must be thrilled. I suppose Edith is giving us a Hollywood lowdown.
I think your column in the Hollywood Reporter is the most fascinating thing I've ever read. As a matter of fact, it's the last thing I read every night before I turn out the light.
That makes me very happy. I understand some people turn out the light before they read my column.
But tell me some more.
I will, because just before coming over here, I learned that Hedy Lamarr is about to form her own motion picture company. Her contract with MGM is finished in April. Hedy wants to have complete charge of her movies in the future. She and her lawyers and one of the big bankers of Hollywood have already been huddling about the deal.
Really? What about Anne Shirley? Is she well now?
Almost. And though she says it won't be soon, I'll bet she marries Adrian Scott, the young producer, before Christmas. Anne just bought the old Garbo house in Beverly Hills, and that will probably be their honeymoon cottage. Poe Inegri is back in Hollywood and living in the old Rudolph Valentino mansion. That place must bring back memories.
What else do you know?
Betty Hutton telephoned from Chicago today and said that her 3-year-old nephew, who has been living with her in Hollywood, is going back east to live with his mother. Betty adores the child, and she's broken-hearted. The last thing she said was, "I'm going to adopt a baby." And speaking of phone calls, Captain Dan Topping, who is Sonia Henney's husband, called her from Honolulu the other night. He's stationed there, and he begged Sonia to call off her proposed skating tour of America and instead to come over to Hawaii and do some appearances there. Sonia hasn't made up her mind yet whether she will or not.
Ooh, don't stop.
The newspapers back east, the reporter Tallulah Bankhead and her ex-husband, John Emery, getting together again, evidently aren't very hep, or they didn't bother to find out that Emery is very happily married at this point to Tamara Jiva. And Tallulah tells me that all three of them are very good friends. In fact, John may be in La Bankhead's new picture.
Well.
Now I want to tell you a really human, true story. For weeks, one of the most popular singers at the Hollywood Canteen has been a girl named Virginia Paris. Yesterday, I found out that she is Loretta Young's maid. I took the whole thing up with Loretta and discovered that she thinks the girl has a really gorgeous voice, like Marian Anderson. Loretta told me that the girl is still working for her, but has already made a record of the Lord's Prayer, which has been sent overseas. Says she's definitely headed for a singing career. Two studios are interested in little Virginia Paris, who someday may be as famous as Loretta. But the thing that thrills the girl the most is that her husband is a soldier overseas and may one of these days hear that record.
Oh, that is nice.
I gotta go now. I don't want to bump into Archie.
Why not?
Well, the other day in my column, I accused him of speaking a whole sentence in perfect English, and I'm afraid if he sees me, he'll sue me, so leave me out of here.
Valley, Ralph Carney just called. He's on his way over to the studio.
Fine. Let me know just as soon as he gets here. And take this announcement from Les Paul and his trio, please. We'll be ready for you in just a moment, Les. Apparently, most of our listeners felt the same enthusiasm for this wizard of the electric guitar and his trio we felt when he first appeared on our first program last week. And the follow-up performance was positively mandatory. Since we believe that the customer is always right, here they are, Les Paul and his trio in Black Eyes.
watch.
I haven't got 13. I've lost it. Here it is. Miss Webster, where did Archie go?
He and Miss Duffy are in your office. Shall I call him?
Not yet. I promised Archie that I'd rehearse a song and give it the Sinatra treatment. All right, Frank. One chorus if I didn't sleep a wink last night in Swoon Temple.
I didn't sleep a wink last night because we had that silly fight.
Hold it. Jesus Christ, don't look at
that
when the thing finishes, take it. All right. Music stops. Stop talking.
I'll take a cue from you.
Go ahead, read it. Read it, go ahead.
Archie, do you mean to tell me that you're dragging me?
Well, you've got to get the goddamn thing faded in properly.
Come on, now for this nitwit.
I didn't sleep a wink last night because we had this.
Just to hear Rudy Valley sing.
Now, calm down, Miss Duffy.
Well, that's a dirty trick.
Look, do you realize that Rudy Valley has made $5 million with his singing, and that is for only singing through his nose?
Holy cat, $2.5 million a nostril.
I know that it'd make you sit up and take nourishment.
Say, is he as rich as that?
Is he? The man is as rich as Crocus. I was out to his place the other day. You should see it. Two maids. A downstairs maid and an upstairs maid.
Well, what's so wonderful about that?
The guy lives in a bungalow.
Oh, has he got a swimming pool?
He has not got one swimming pool, but three.
Three swimming pools?
Yep, hot, cold, and Coca-Cola. The guy is a tycoon.
Mr. Gardner.
Miss Webster. Come on, Miss Duffy.
Okay, Archie.
Well, Archie, I think I'm ready for you.
Good. Rudy, you remember Miss Duffy.
How could I forget her?
Well, what do you say if you sing a number and she,
Yes, she looks like a likely guinea pig.
Well, you got me down here in such a hurry, I didn't have time to put on my makeup.
Miss Duffy, stop brooking insults. Now, leave us get on with the business at hand.
I'm ready, Archie.
Good. Now, remember, Miss Duffy, listen close now.
All right, Frank, let's go.
Hold it, Rudy.
Hold it, Frank. What's the matter, Archie?
Is there a glass of water handy? Now it is. If it works, we might need it.
There's a whole pitcher of water over there. All right, Frank.
I couldn't sleep a wink last night.
Well, Miss Duffy, what do you think of that?
Well, I think the guy ought to take Ovaltine.
Maybe it's too soon. Go on, Rudy.
Because we had that silly fight. I had to call you up this morning to see if everything was still all right.
Well, Miss Duffy?
Well, what?
Don't you feel nothing? Don't you feel something choking you?
Oh, yeah, this girl's killing me.
Chin up, Rudy. This is your last chance. Give with everything this time.
Yes, I had to call you up this morning, 'cause I couldn't sleep a wink last night.
Ah!
Rudy, she swooned. She's out cold in the pickle. You did it.
Thanks, but don't stand there. Here's the water.
Where am I? What happened?
Take it easy. You're all right. You just swooned from Rudy Valley singing.
I swooned from Rudy Valley singing.
Certainly.
Don't be ridiculous. I passed out when I looked at the clock.
The clock?
Yeah, I just realized that Miss Frank Sinatra's broadcast.
Sinatra? Oh, no, Sinatra. While this song is still on everyone's lips, I'd like to kick it about a bit. One of the most tender and haunting of the present crop of picture songs. It could happen to you.
Hide your heart from sight. Lock your dreams at night. It could happen to you. Don't count stars or you might stumble. Someone drops a sigh and down you tumble. Keep an eye on spring. Run when church bells ring. It could happen.
Here's Mr. Carney.
Welcome to Hollywood, Ralph. Welcome to Hollywood.
Rudy, don't let me interrupt your rehearsal.
We're just about to take a rest anyway. I'd like you to do something for me, if you will.
What is it?
I think the gang would get a tremendous thrill out of hearing you deliver that wonderful eulogy on America that I heard you give at the Biltmore Bowl the last time you were out here.
Well, if you really want me to.
Want you to? It's a command.
Yes, sir, Lieutenant.
Quiet, everybody. Should have been a little noise there. This is Mr. Ralph Carney, Wichita, Kansas, one of the finest speakers I've ever heard in my life. He travels 150,000 miles every year, speaking all over the globe. He's going to give you a moving description of America.
Have you ever thought of what this America really is, from which we have taken benefits and pensions and subsidies and relief, and back to which many of us have given so very little? Well, I'd like to tell you what I think it is. America is the sleeping giant among nations, suddenly transformed by bombs on Hawaii into a smashing colossus. It's the joyrider turned Paul Revere, the jazz orchestra become the fife and drum corps. It's Hollywood and Broadway suddenly warmed by the spirit of Bunker Hill and Lexington. It's a nightclub, the country club, discarding its playclothes for uniform and jumpers and the sign of the Red Cross upon its sleeve. It's waltz music and the rumba shifting to the blare of bugles. It's all the trivial ditties of Tin Pan Alley welling into mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And oh, say, can you see by that dawn's early light? It's the soda clerk dying for democracy, the fat man on the golf links flinging away his clubs to become an air raid warden, a youth on a tennis court, suddenly flashing through the air to bomb a hostile battleship, the Colin Kelly. It's the cry of gimme, gimme, changing now, to take all I have if you need it, and the slogans every man for himself, and what do I get out of it, becomes again, don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. It's the polo playboy turned paratrooper, a grimy coal town laborer leading a flying squadron to retake Manila, the village ne'er-do-well, and a minesweeper in a raging sea, the tap dancer stripped to the waist in a blazing gun turret, the ex-gangster finding his soul in the emulation of Ethan Allen and Sergeant York. It's a club car fading into an armored car, the deluxe Pullman into an ammunition train, and the porter into Gunga Din. It's the street corner idler winning a citation for valor, and the boy who wasn't much use sticking to the guns of a flaming, sinking cruiser, taking one last defiant shot before a cold and pitiless ocean closes over him to strangle out his life. It's the hot dog vendor in a ballpark and a clear-toned church bell at twilight for a nation which may still worship as it pleases. It's Henry Ford, Admiral King, and General Marshall, Cardinal Gibbons, and Billy Sunday. It's Carrie Nation, and Hiram Walker, Israel Putnam, and Fibber McGee, George Washington, and Jack Benny, Abraham Lincoln, and Booker T. Washington, it's Ulysses Grant, and Robert E. Lee, Al Smith, and Herbert Hoover, Franklin Roosevelt, and Tom Dewey.
It's Dorothy Thompson and Sophie Tucker, Eleanor Roosevelt and Amy Semple McPherson, Sally Rand and Barbara Fritchie, and every man, woman, and child who buys a war bond or a stamp. It's a homestead turned cathedral because of the prayers of mothers there. The dingy town become a flaming symbol because it's given birth to heroes in the human heart and soul. Turn torch and beacon to light the way to freedom and liberty for all of the oppressed peoples of the world. That, America, it's enough to make a grown man cry and with no shame. And it is for that we work and pray and fight, and unto whom we surrender up our son. God bless America.
Thank you, Ralph Carney.
Who rates dates galore and beaux by the score? The girl with glamorous shining hair. Girls, you'll never know what a difference in glamour just a shampoo can make until you use Dreen shampoo with hair conditioner. Suppose you're washing your hair with soap, cake soap, liquid soap shampoo, or any other shampoo except Dreen with hair conditioner. Well, listen. No soap, no other shampoo combines all the beauty advantages this wonderful new Dreen brings you. Dreen reveals up to 33% more luster than any kind of soap, because it never leaves any dulling film on hair, as all soaps do to hide the shining loveliness. And now that this new improved Dreen contains a wonderful hair conditioner, it leaves hair far silkier, smoother, and easier to manage right after shampooing. Besides, Dreen completely removes every trace of flaky dandruff the very first time you use it. No other shampoo of any sort combines such luster and such manageability with this complete removal of dandruff. Only Dreen with hair conditioner. So for this three-way beauty care, always Dreen your hair. Insist on Dreen with hair conditioner, the only shampoo that can make your hair look so lovely.
How long before we have to get out of the studio, Webster?
In a couple of minutes.
All right. Remind me to call Miss Katina Paxenew to discuss the scene she's going to do for whom the bell tolls on our show next week. Remind me also to check with Doodles Weaver on the bit he's going to do next week, and to thank H.I. Phillips and the Associated Newspapers for permitting us to use some of that fine writing on What is America. Okay, Frank, take the bumper.
Rudy Valley presents the Dreen Show for Dreen Shampoo every week at the same time. See you next Saturday. Good night.
Okay, kid.